Sky Sports Radio loves talking racing. The people, the jockeys, the horses. Time now for Punter's Postmortem. Analysis of the weekend's racing, plus your calls. Welcome to Punter's Postmortem. Everyone's a winner, baby. That's no
lie. That's no lie. How good is it we just need Mother Nature to play a role as we go forward to Rosehill Gardens for Golden Slipper Day? We've got the five group ones. We're hopeful for some blue skies. The weather forecast is not so promising. We can only hope, as per normal, they get it wrong down there at the Bureau. But we've got the Golden Slipper. We've got the Guineas with the Autumn Sun. We've got the George Rider coming up with the Mighty Mare Winx, going for 32 in a row in her fourth George Rider, by the way. Excuse me. And then the Galaxy, and hopefully confirmation in a few hours' time that Red Zell will go forward, taking on the likes of Nature Strip and maybe Ball of Muscle. It's exciting times. Let's get to Ronnie Duffersey. Hi, Ronnie.
Yeah, good morning, TK. It's certainly an exciting program ahead, as it Golden Slipper Day always is, with all those group ones, the champions all on show. And look, we may be working with a wet track. There's a bit of wet track form to work with, at least with the two-year-olds. And it should be clear by Saturday. So all in all, should be a great weekend.
It will be. Glenn Munsey, the big barrier draw tomorrow at Rosehill Gardens. How important will it be? I guess if the track continues to improve, it will be more important if the track just stays in the heavy range, where barriers probably won't be so important. But we'll find out about mid-morning tomorrow.
Yes, good morning, TK. Good morning, Ronno. Good morning to Dino when he comes on. Well, you stole a bit of my thunder, TK, just before the end of the Big Sports Breakfast. Yeah. What draws wide tomorrow will drift. What draws inside will firm, and it won't matter. But it all depends. If the track plays similar to how it played on Saturday, you'll want to be drawing inside, because later in the day, the inside was the place to be there. The rail was in the true position on Saturday and hadn't been there for about 8 or 9 weeks. So I know the original thoughts from the track people was to leave the, I think you'll find, to leave the rail in the true position there, right, for Slipper Day, because we hadn't been on the inside for so long. But they know a whole lot more about it than what we do. So I think Linz will probably make a decision. Well, he's got to make a decision, I'd say, on Wednesday when acceptance is coming up. So people know what's going on there. But, you know, as I said, the inside was the place to be late in the day there on Saturday. And it's very, very heavy at the moment. But, you know, it just depends what we get later in the week. All the major rain, but you're the weather perv in the show here, TK. And no doubt you've been all over it like a... someone on a, a seagull on a chip.
Yeah, like a fat kid on a donut. There's no doubt about that. But, Monday morning, chance of rain 80%. We're expecting up to 20 mil. Tuesday, we're expecting up to 15 mil. Wednesday, it gets a bit better, between 3 and 5 mil of rain. And then Thursday, up to a couple of mil, which is insignificant, apart from we've had rain for... we've been deluged. We've had like a month of rain in the past 3 days. Dean Lester had sunshine down there in Melbourne. Good morning, Dino.
Wouldn't expect anything else, TK.
Oh,
good morning.
Of course.
Hot and dusty down here.
Hey, the All-Star Mile went off well.
I think it did, yep. I think a very fitting first winner, a really good filly, and two A-grade horses directly behind her. I think all the main players were in the finish, as we'd hoped. And, it was, I think, a great success in that regard.
Now, Dino, I may or may not be talking through my pocket, right?
Yep.
But just say Hartnell wasn't held up for that touch when Mystic Journey went, right? If Mystic Journey and Hartnell both went at the same time, my pocket was hoping that Hartnell, the old warhorse, would beat the newcomer. What would be your thoughts?
Well, luckily my pocket got paid out, so I'm more than happy with the result.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
William Buick did the right thing. He got on the back of Happy Clapper, which you'd think was the right move.
Yeah.
But you know, Happy's just not the same horse down here, and he didn't take him anywhere. So then he had to switch back inside. So it was a critical point of the race. There's no doubt. But,
Worthy winner. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but I certainly see your point, and I think he should have finished closer. But she had travelled three wide, no cover the whole way on a good speed. Yeah. So she had her probably excuses as well, to that extent.
And I'll get everyone's opinion here, but you first, Dino. Happy Clapper, just the Melbourne way of going, or did he get winxed?
I think there's a bit of that, a bit of both. You know, 8 year old horses trying to back up with them. Like it was a massive peak 2 weeks after that, and I think I mentioned it here a few weeks ago that Pat Webster, when the horse was beaten in the Maccabi Diva, shook my hand and said, "You'll never see me down here with him again." But then there was a $5 million race and probably irresistible. But he's just not. You know, he just doesn't. I couldn't put it down to anything. Like when he was at Caulfield, you could see he was on the wrong leg and he was unhappy. He seemed to get into a really good rhythm on Saturday, but when Blake Shin went for him, there was just nothing there.
What did you make of it, Duff?
Yeah, I can't improve on that. He was in a good spot. You thought he on the point of the turn. Hello, Happy's going to do something here, but it's simple. It's probably a bit of both. He had the hard run against Winks and he doesn't go in Melbourne. It's simple as that.
Yeah. Glenn, let's get a fresh market if we can, please, on the Golden Slipper, and then we'll go through what happened as far as the Slipper was concerned on the weekend.
Right. Well, not massive changes at the top, right at the top anyway, TK. The major change, of course, was Cosmic Force winning on the weekend. Yes, yes, yes. Now, outright favourite for the Slipper at a $5 chance over Microphone and Tenley at $6 each of two. Cosmic Force, who was a $51 chance before Saturday, is now on the next line, a third line of betting as a $7 chance. Liar is at $9. And then you go to Dubious, Exhilarates and Loving Gabby, who are all at $13. Pinsec and Time to Rain at $17. Anahiri has to pay up today the late entry fee. They're both $26. Free of Debt also to pay up today the late entry fee at $34. Kiyomichi at $34. Vincere Valare at $34. Bivouac, who'll be, I think, it's second emergency at the moment at 51. Catch Me, 51. Lankan Star, 51. Immersement will be third emergency, I think, 67. Rome, 67. And McLaren's 101, but he won't be there.
I heard you on Sky Thoroughbred Central on directly after Cosmic Force's win. Did the tab 51 into 15 and then it just kept on tumbling? Did 15 actually get to the market?
I think it was 51 to 13, TK.
51 to 13.
But it was definitely there because Ronnie was sitting next to me and we were actually looking at it.
You had to be quick, though, yeah.
And you could see it shorten all the time. But every time Ronnie spoke about another dozen or so words, I said, "It's in again. It's in again."
You know, I thought you were saying every time Ronnie hit his laptop, it was in again, it was in again, it was in again.
Yeah. No, we don't do those sort of things, TK.
No,
but, you know, there was money for it on Saturday. There's been, well, basically where he sits at the moment, since this market went to the second acceptance market, the most popular runner is Yes, Yes, Yes in front of Tenley, then Time to Rain. Cosmic Force is actually next pick, then Microphone, then Exhilarates, then Loving Gabby, then Liar, then Pinsec and Anna Heat. So, you know, the latest sort of runs are the most the popular runs, which is typical of the Slipper anyway.
All right. Cosmic Force has pulled up good. Has pulled up good. That's the word from the Snowdons, winning by 7 lengths, storms into Slipper contention. Ronnie, give us your thoughts. I'll get the whole panel's thoughts on Cosmic Force. Ronnie there?
Ronnie's stunned.
I'll go with Dino
then. He's probably back on the laptop.
Oh, there he's back. There you go. Ronnie, sorry, mate.
He's set up his form on this sort of track, you know, that we're looking for Saturday. So you'd have to say he comes right into calculation. I wasn't considering before Saturday, but now I've got to sit back and have a good think about him. There's no doubt about it. He, with the conditions we're looking likely to have, he's got to be a go-to horse.
Mm. The Snowdons, they've been there, they've done that before. Timing's everything, isn't it? And it appears they're getting the timing right here. This horse is improving every start.
Yeah, and I don't think it was any fluke because they were talking him up all week.
They were.
This horse is going from strength to strength. We're really happy with the way he's going. So, yep, no fluke in the performance. It was a dominant. You don't see many lead-ups to the Slipper being won by more than 7 lengths, and that's exactly what he did.
Yep. I know it's an initial reaction, Dino, but James McDonald, who's booked to ride Tenley in the Golden Slipper, he went across the line on Cosmic Force. He said, "Can I swap my Golden Slipper ride?"
Yeah, well, it was. You couldn't help but be impressed with the performance. I mean, visually, on the clock, the ability to handle soft ground, the timing. It's a different preparation to the previous Snowden Golden Slipper winners, backing up on the 7 days, but they seem as though they've been very comfortable with that, knowing their horse, and he's coming right at the right time. And even James looked after him the last little bit for them, which was very kind, down. Seeing he didn't ride. He's not riding him. Yeah, he looked after the horse.
Yeah. And when, some breaking news here, TK. A theory will not be paying up for the slipper.
I was going to say that. Yeah.
So, theory not. The most relieved man in Sydney is now Kieran Maher.
Yeah.
Because Loving Gabby would not have got in the slipper field had a theory paid up. So Loving Gabby's last in.
Godolphin are accepting with Microphone, Tenley, Kiyomichi, Liar, Pinsec, Exhilarate and Bivouac.
Yeah, so if the officer's listening, take a theory out.
Yeah.
Take a theory out. A theory comes out. Was a $26 chance. Now, imagine what will Loving Gabby firm? Loving Gabby's
no,
not
Loving
third.
Gabby's priced, it's priced there as it was in the race. Okay. Because even though it was going to be an emergency, you price them as though they're in the race,
okay.
TK.
Okay.
Because if it was an emergency and never got in, there's no deduction anyway.
Right.
So,
okay, that's good to
price
know.
Them as though they're running, and I don't think that'll affect the market on Blue Jacket Babies. If you think, I don't think they'll drift. Blue Jacket Babies will only having 6 runners now instead of 7. it's still $1.90.
All right, Ronnie, I'll ask you. We saw Loving Gabby in that barrier trial over 740 metres. What did you make of Loving Gabby now that Loving Gabby's going to get a run?
Yeah, look, I've always loved her. I would have liked to have seen her trial like a couple of the others over the 1,000 or the 1,050. So we're not going to learn much in a 700-metre trial, and she's 3 weeks between runs now. I would have thought she would have got more benefit out of a 1,000-metre trial. But no knock on a trial. I spoke to Lizzie, went and had a look at her. She said she looked amazing, so there's no issues with her appearance. And I think she'll learn from that trial experience. I did think Liar trialed better.
Yeah.
She wasn't asked much, just clicked up that last 100, and I like the way she just savaged through the line there. So I'd be pretty comfortable with her trial if you're in her corner.
All right, that's Blue Diamond Form holding up, coming to the Golden Slipper. Loving Gabby, you're a fan, aren't you, Dino? I mean.
Yeah, I am. I don't know if she's the right horse for.
No, I didn't mean that. I mean, but you like Loving Gabby.
I think she's
a
very good talent. Yeah. I don't know if she's quite there yet, but she's a very good talent. I liked Liar's trial on Thursday, Duff. She looks as though she's settled in well.
No, she has. She was really good, and like I said, she ran through the line in really good style there, under minimal pressure. So she's in good shape.
And Catch Me trialed as well, Ronnie.
She did. She was in a she was dragged back there and let run through the line with a bit of confidence. Just has to settle a little bit better than what she did in that trial. She still seems to just have that be in a bonnet as far as just race sense and common sense.
The fillies haven't really got much of a mention coming out of Saturday, but Kiyomichi wins for Godolphin, so that's one of 6 runners there. I'm pretty sure that the last filly to come out of the Magic Knight to win the Golden Slipper was Bint Masque.
Yeah, she's no Bint Masque. I must say she did at both ends. She went out hard. They were there to beat her at halfway down the straight, and she kicked and did it well. Well, look, another one. She set up a form on a heavy track and maybe a little bit forgotten here if we do have a heavy track. But, it'll be harder for her come Saturday. You know, the Colts run much better figures there, Cosmic Force.
Glenn, Kiyomichi?
No, he can't win the slipper, TK. No,
can't win.
No, he's got none.
$34 chance. Put a pen through it. What did you make of how did you assess both the 2-year-old races come the weekend, Dino?
Yeah, pretty much only want to be with one horse, I think, in Cosmic Force out of Saturday. There's a few horses I want to be with later on, like Immersement over further.
Yeah.
And thought the New Zealand filly ran pretty well too, Duff.
She did. Yeah. Probably. Too much to do there, spearing off on the turn.
Exactly.
Considering circumstances, looking at the results later in the day, her effort was excellent. I wouldn't give up on her come, you know, Sire's Day or Champagne Day.
And I think the last Coldall gelding to come out of the Pago and go on to win the slipper was Stratum.
It can happen.
Yeah.
It can happen.
Well, it can happen
there's been a lot of horses lately that have come out from the week before the slipper and run very,
very,
very
well,
races without actually winning. And as you said, Stratum, the last one, but they typically run very, very good races. And they're not as probably hard in the market as what Cosmic Force is.
Right. I haven't won as well as Cosmic Force either.
No.
And, you know, J-Mac was quizzed about why he was looking over his shoulder or under his under his shoulder to, going down the straight. He just wanted to make sure he couldn't really believe what was happening. He had to make sure he was that far clear of them. He might have missed one on the inside screen.
No, he was. I think he was shocked at how the ease of the win.
Okay, so it's going to be. He'll be on Tenley, J Mac. Microphone is Huey Bowman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we went through all of these riders on Saturday morning. TK. Yep. Tommy Berry rides.
I've got him on my phone here.
Pinsick, yes. Is Blake Shin.
Yes. Is Blake
Microphone
Shin.
Bowman. McDonald Tenley. Time to Rain Collett. Timmy Clark on Anahe. Tiamici, no rider yet. Mark Zara. Cosmic Force,
yep.
The liar is Luke Curry. Damien Oliver, Lincoln Star. Free Adet, Dwayne Dunn. Pinsec, Tommy Berry. Catch Me, Corey Brown. The Theory's not going round now. You've got Dubious, Michael Walker. Vincere Valare, Sam Clipperton. Karen McAvoy on Exhilarates. And Oisin Murphy can get himself on the plane now with Loving Gabby.
Okay, so that's confirmation. Loving Gabby in the field with a Theory not going forward, not being paid up for the Golden Slipper. Was a $26 chance in that market, is now going to be out of that market. You had some success up here in Sydney on the weekend as well, Dino. 50 stars, Jai McNeil. Nice ride. His first winner in Sydney just happened to be group success. And now onwards to the Doncaster. He gave you a nice wrap after the race.
He did. It was very kind of Jai to do that. He's done a great job riding for the horses that I manage from time to time on Furion. And with Ben Allen suspended and not being able to make the 50 kilos in the Doncaster, it was time to make the switch. And Jai did a great job riding 50 stars on Saturday. He just coming back from that 16 to the 1500, he was always going to be a little bit flat, but the last 100 he picked up well and drops to 50 kilos in the Doncaster. So, he's going very well, that horse.
Jai can ride 50, he said, on Saturday?
Yeah, he'll be riding him.
Because that race, not only was it ballot-free, it was penalty-free on Saturday.
It was. Yeah, I read the conditions very closely about 6 weeks ago.
He did ride him beautifully, I must say. He read the speed of the race, so he rode him a little bit closer. He wasn't intimidated by the danger outside him. Seaway with Karen McAvoy, he held his spot there. I thought he made every right move, and it was one of the rides of the day, considering a little bit of pressure he might have been on. Just the position of the horse was perfect.
He's got plenty of guts, Dino. I mean, he's third favourite in the Doncaster. The Autumn Sun, clearly $3.50. Elise, $8. 50 stars, $11, along with Happy Clapper and Hartnell.
Yeah, look at that list, and there's a lot of them well up in the weights.
Yeah.
And he handles wet. He's got 50 kilos. He's in form. He runs a strong mile. He's very comfortable right-handed. We hadn't raced him that way, but we knew that he'd done a lot of work that way. So, everything we'd hoped for on Saturday to get him into the Doncaster field. Now he's got 3 weeks. He's back at Lindsay Park and we'll build again.
He'd be a hope, Glenn.
Oh, would he? What? Will he tell you what? He'd be happy if it rains. And you've got to cast your mind back a fair way before you realise we've had a dry track at most of the times we've had feature racing at Randwick over the Easter period. So, I'll devil's advocate here, guys. Was he flattered the last 50 metres by the fact that the second and third horse were tiring?
Obviously, maybe they were second up. He was fourth up off a win, but still, they didn't. In his defence, they didn't go hard up front. Those two leaders as well.
Yeah.
You know, so there's merit in the performance, and he's earned his spot in the Doncaster. He's qualified. He's a lightweight. He ticks a lot of boxes. The market's probably got him about right. Maybe a little bit unders.
Interesting if Elise goes. I think there's a bit of a doubt there.
She has to. Didn't run the mile at all.
She's probably the Coolmore Legacy or something like that. Might be more her, like a mile against mares might be more her.
She didn't run it at weight for age there on Saturday. Yeah. It was a beautiful ride.
Oh, outstanding.
Dino, 50 stars. He's tough. He takes up a forward position, makes his own luck, handles a wet track. He ticks a few boxes.
Yeah, he does. What's been mentioned was right. They were tiring, but he still ran the fourth best last 400 of the meeting and the third best last 200. So he really did quicken down as well. So it was a good effort. That was the plan. We've got one shot at getting him into a good handicap with a lightweight, and he's now on two group twos, so he won't get 50 kilos again. So yeah. this is his real chance.
Well, that's why we've got handicaps, isn't it?
Exactly, and that's what we that's
the beauty of it.
We put him and the other horse in similar ownership, Furion, on the same path, and this horse was certainly going a bit sharper, so he's going this way, and Furion staying down here for the Easter Cup.
And Glenn, you would love the fact that your Rabbitohs supporter, South Sydney, not only did they win at the SCG against the Roosters, but Damien Cook, the hooker for the South Sydney Rabbitohs, he's our new Thursday expert on the Big Sports Breakfast, and he loves his racing. We asked him for a tip on Thursday morning, quick as a flash, and we didn't even prompt him that, can you give him a heads up, we're going to ask him for a tip. He fired back within a millisecond, Dixie Blossoms.
Yeah, it was
$21.
Yeah, good effort by Damien there. Of course, he's got a little bit of a tie-in with racing. Of course, his wife works for Racing New South Wales. And, you know, he probably said, well, Les Bridge hasn't got a runner, so I'll go with a Ramwick horse. And, you know, he went for Dixie. And I'm sure the boys probably would have had a sly investment. They don't mind playing on a Friday night, the Bunnies, and getting around on a Saturday and watching the races. They tend to get to the races, especially if they're Ramwick on a Saturday. But they would be very, very happy, not only with giving it to the Chooks on Friday night. I don't know whether they rang Latrell Mitchell and tipped it to him, but he's not in their good books at the moment. But well done to Damien, and just goes to show you, you know, that when they get a bit of time away from football, they have got other interests, and he's jagged a 20-1 winner. And you've got to realise now, TK, there's 26 rounds of the Premiership to go, and he started with a 20-1 chance. It doesn't get any easier from here.
It's all downhill. It's all downhill for poor old Damien, because our listeners and viewers were very, very happy with him this morning, right? But I know that it's on again on Thursday, and it just gets harder and harder for Damien from here on in. It's 9:30. You're listening with Punters Postmortem, Dean Lester, Ronnie Duffacy, and also Glenn Munsey. We'll get an update on the sporting headlines with Madison Clare, and then we'll be back and take your calls on 13 53. And also, I'll get through the text messages 0419 767 272.
Morning to you, Terry, and top of the tipping comp. So you've tipped well on the NRL.
Oh, thank you very much.
The Raiders overcame the rain to claim victory over the Titans with a 21-0 win, the first time the Raiders have kept a team scoreless since 2013. Coach Ricky Stewart was happy with the side's energy and defence, but did say it's only round one. And the Eels have lost Nathan Brown for 3 months, but have won the season opener 20-12 over the Panthers. Usman Khawaja's heroics with the bat and Pat Cummins' effort with the ball in Australia's historic ODI series win over India have resulted in staggering leaps in the International Cricket Council's one-day rankings. Khawaja leapt 83 places to a career-best 25th in the batting charts, while Cummins has climbed 13 places to 7th overall, also a career-best position in the bowling rankings. A disappointment for Daniel Ricciardo in his home Grand Prix, saying he pulled out of the race because there wasn't much to gain after him losing his front wing when he was forced wide at the corner. That's all the latest on Sky Sports Radio, your racing and sports leader.
Good on you, Madison. Thank you so much for that. And well done to Rory McIlroy as well, winning the Players' Championship, tapping in on the 18th for a final round of 70, which put him on 16 under par. For the Northern Irishman, it's his first championship victory in 12 months, knocking over the veteran American and Jimmy Furyk, who finishes a shot behind on 15 under par. So well done to Rory McIlroy. Two under par final round of 70 to put him one clear of Jimmy Furyk and break his 12-month drought. Rory McIlroy, the Masters not far away.
It's one of the world's most prestigious races, and Sky Sports Radio has every viewpoint.
Esther Job led all the way in the slipper.
The $3.5 million Longines Golden Slipper is steeped in history. Luskin Star, Sir Dapper, and last year, Esther Job. Right throughout the week, Racing HQ will have all the updates. Then race morning, we're off to Rose Hill from 6:30 with the preview at 8 and Paul Joyce's opinions from 10. There's no better way to get the complete coverage of Golden Slipper Day than Sky Sports Radio.
Rise up for the championships this April at Royal Randwick with two spectacular Saturdays of world-class racing, entertainment and award-winning hospitality on Derby Day and Longines Queen Elizabeth Stakes Day. Featuring time-honoured classics over 150 years in the making, the Harold's Australian Derby, the Star Doncaster, Schweppes Sydney Cup and the Longines Queen Elizabeth Stakes. Rise up for the grand finals of Australian racing, the championships, April 6 and 13. Book now at theraces.com.au.
Sky Sports Radio brings you every breathtaking moment of the Provincial Championships qualifiers. Saturday, it's Kembla Grange's turn to supply their finalists for the electrifying Randwick finale. Get the full Kembla preview Saturday morning at 9:45 on Sky Sports Radio.
You're listening to Punters Postmortem. Have your say. Call us on 13 53 53, SMS 0419 767 272 or send us a tweet at Sky Sports Radio 1.
The Grafton Country Championship qualifier yesterday, Matty Dunn, what a day out. He had five winners but also got Lascopa into the final. I think it's second favourite for the Country Championship, which is going to be staged. That's week one, isn't it, Glenn? Week one of the championships.
Yes, that's right. April 6th. So after winning yesterday, promoted to favourite, mainly due to the fact that it's guaranteed a run, TK, yeah, because we had Noble Boy sitting at the top of the market for quite a while in front of Awesome Pluck, and they've both got to go through Muswellbrook this Sunday to qualify for the final. The Scopa was an $11 chance before yesterday. Actually firmed $11 into $8 prior to the race because it was $2.20 to $1.50 in that race yesterday. Matty Dunn did have a picnic there last night. So Lascope is now the favourite at $4.50. Noble Boy and Awesome Pluck, who I said, have got to go through Muswellbrook this Sunday. And I'll tell you what a race it's going to be.
Yeah.
And a massive week there for Muswellbrook because they race the wild card on Sunday. Then they have the big golf day Thursday, the Calcutta Thursday night, and the Muswellbrook Cup on Friday.
We'll be there.
Yes.
Are you going?
You're kidding, aren't you, yeah, TK? You don't think they'd start without me, do you?
No, well, we'll all be there.
Yeah, but, you know, if you're looking for something to do, the Calcutta, they gets a bit of money in the pool, the Calcutta as well, on Thursday night. That'll be at the golf club. And then the Friday at the races. Sunday this week is the wild card. Noble Boy and Awesome Pluck will be there. But Bennelong Dancer, Queen of Kingston, she ran an honest race yesterday to qualify for the final. Tamworth's winner, Unbiased, there at 11. Tash Burley's pair, Almar Hahar and Bocelli, are $15 each of two. Luciola Bell through the Port Macquarie race at 15. And a stack of them at $26. I tell you what, news is everywhere here, boys. Rail will be at 3 metres on Slipper Day.
3 metres.
Damien Lane will stay on Kiyomichi. Brad Wawilla will be on Bivouac. And some sad news for the business, Kementari's been retired.
Tab will never be the same.
Yeah, so that man with the statue, can you get it fixed, please? he'll be standing at stud at Kelvin's side. Former property of Hilton Cope, now the Daly property, and I think around about $33,000 service fee.
Okay.
So, Kementari. So, the office there, if you could, that's the next job you've got there. If you've you're just taken a theory out, can you take Kementari out of all those races over the carnival?
The queries are open now for the boys. Dean Lester, Ronnie Duffy, 13 53 53. If you call now, you'll get directly through. I will get to the text messages. Keep them coming. 0419 767 272. Ronnie, I thought you would have waxed a little bit more lyrical about poor old Dixie Blossoms. You're a little bit lackluster about the victory, saying, oh, well, you know, I've got the run of the race and blah, 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 blah.
No, why
have you fallen out of love with old Dixie Blossoms?
You're pumped after the race.
Yeah, the love's never been stronger for Dixie.
Well, okay.
Gee, you are there.
You're a hard market, TK.
All right.
I even had a little saver on her. I never let her go around.
You didn't stand next to him, TK, when he poked Christian Reith, poked her through that gap two off the fence. There was a lot of love in that situation, I can guarantee you that.
Okay. Yeah, all right. I thought you might have jumped off. I'm glad you stuck solid.
No, I didn't put her on top, but I had her in the numbers, and I just couldn't let her go around at $21. It was just a silly price, and she was second up. I know she had one at Rose Hill, but her wet form later in her career has been very, very good. She got all the breaks, I must say, but she capitalised, and she really sprinted to the line. I thought her win was outstanding. To beat the two Chris Lee's horses, the El Dorado Dreaming is ticking along beautifully. Princess Posh was on the quick backup that really helped her, and she ran boldly as well. There's a few that didn't really run up to expectations there. I Am Serious had a wide run and probably had a bit of an off day, and Jamaican Rain didn't put in as we thought she might have. But that all comes down to the conditions on the day.
Well, I read something, Jamaican Rain was the best wet tracker in the country.
Well, I think she may have pulled up a bit sore as well. I think she's 2 out of 5 lame.
She really knuckled just on straightening.
Yeah. Did she?
Just looked as though she lost her action for about 3 or 4 strides. And don't know if she was going to be in the finish, but it certainly that was the telling blow for her.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's a little excuses all around there. And it's you just have to be so forgiving with some horses on these heavy tracks.
Any excuses, sorry, for I Am Serious?
I wouldn't have thought so. Other than being wide and not getting on the track, you'd still... With her profile, you'd still expect her to, you know, finish a little closer than nine lengths off them. So she's just had an off day on that heavy 10 track.
We're going to take calls on 13 53 53. Text messages coming up. I heard a comment on TV that there was a lack of interest from New South Wales on the All-Star Mile. I asked why, and isn't it about time both the Victorians and the New South Wales people grow up and about this fierce rivalry, John.
John,
we can always live in hope, but I think that's all we've got at the moment is hope. Although we always said, and I had 10 years up there, that the QTC and the BATC are only divided by Nudgee Road, which was like the Gaza Strip in those days. And they got together, Ronnie, and we always thought that would never happen.
Yeah, look, you could say we didn't have any interest. I'm sure there was a lot of interest in the All-Star Mile.
It's of course.
We had one of our biggest meetings of the year to promote here. It's as simple as that. Coolmore Classic Day is a big day, and that's what it's all about. We had to promote that Sydney program, and the All-Star Mile didn't get lost. I'm sure it got a lot of support here in Sydney.
Yeah. They deem it a success, wouldn't they, Dino?
I would think so.
It goes to Caulfield next year, doesn't it?
Yeah, it goes between the three clubs, so Caulfield next year. I thought it, the actual interest in it was strong. The day, good. Crowd, okay. 16,000, 20,000 last week. I think they'll learn a bit from it, but I think the actual atmosphere pre-race was outstanding. So
yeah, $5 million up for grabs, and I'm sure they'll be tweaking the entry level as far as the ratings are concerned and so on and so forth, and try and look for more high-class gallopers, but still try and give some of the lower-class gallopers a shot at the big prize money.
Absolutely, and I think what you said is right, that you had to promote the Rose Hill meeting. It's a bit like Caulfield Guineas Day. We have a huge interest in the Everest, but we still have 3 Group 1s at Caulfield on the same day. So within, if we're going to have these big days where both states have feature meetings, they're not going to be promoted to the max from the other states, but we've still got massive interest in them.
Yeah, and look, I mean, just from a punter's point of view, or a person who loves their racing, the competition is bringing out some innovations. No doubt New South Wales got ahead of the curve in that arena, and now the Victorians are trying to fight back, and the more $5 million races we have, it's all better for the participants, and the competition is good. 13 53 53. We'll get to the open line. Glenn Munsey, Dean Lester, Ronnie Duffacy and TK say good morning to Gary. Hi, Gary.
Good morning, boys. Just a question about race one in Melbourne on Saturday. Dino might be able to help. I'm not sure. I can't find anywhere where the stewards asked the rider of Claris Cliffs what their theory was in their decision making. I backed just highfalutin, but I thought the stewards probably were entitled to ask what their thoughts were in their decision.
I suppose when it comes unstuck, if it had, if he'd made the path down there and it had won, would, Clarice Cliffs was coming back from 14 to 1200. I thought she was too short. That's just an opinion. And I was with you. I thought just highfalutin might win. But it was unusual that two went to the outside. The other one was, I think, Craig Williams as well.
Was brave on an even money chance.
I wish Osborne Bulls would have went to the outside.
Yeah, I wish he'd been there.
Last start.
The thing is that, when they're that short, you often see jockeys do that, as you said, Duff, in bravery, looking for an edge. the market would have suggested she didn't need an edge to win. So
I know that
Dwayne Dunn thought the absolute outside was absolute no-go zone, but people walk tracks and they do things differently and think differently. And obviously, two went out there thinking it was okay. And you could see Luke Curry was very tempted to go with them on Just Highfalutin, and ultimately he went in. It ultimately proved the wrong move. But first race of the day, people go out there, walk tracks, think that they find something that they didn't. And to be fair, Clarice Cliffs going onto the course proper, when you see the overhead drone shot, was definitely in front. But that last 400, I think that ground was inferior. But I think up to the 400 would have been an interesting move if she gradually edged across inwards as the race went on, because I think that last 400, it was definitely inferior ground. She lost ground very quickly, and I don't think that was necessarily her performance. That might have been the ground.
It's no solace to you, Gary, but Greg Yurrell was quoted after the race, "We were in the wrong place at the wrong time. She just got lost out there, a bit lost out there," which can happen. Good on you, Gary. Nice to hear from you. Steve, good morning.
How are you, boys?
Really well, Steve.
I got a good thing in the slipper.
That's what we want.
Yeah, time to rain.
Yeah.
So I backed the last three Golden Slipper winners, and this horse will win, don't worry.
Glenn, chance?
It fits a good, if it's wet or not.
It fits a good profile, because the last three Slipper winners have been much, much shorter 3 weeks out from the slipper than they were on Slipper Day, for the fact that they've lost one race. It happened with She Will Reign, it happened with Capitalist, and it happened with Esther Jarb. That profile fits. It's got a very good Rose Hill record in a slipper, completely devoid of experience at Rose Hill, and it's got wet track form at Rose Hill as well.
All right, good on you, Steve.
Couldn't have been in a worse spot for it last start either. I think third the fence behind them. I think it's a better free-rolling horse.
All right, well, at odds, Steve might be onto something there. Does Dino think Star of Arran will handle wet tracks? Seems to be an out-and-out stayer, and one for the Derby.
Which one, sorry?
Star of Carrum.
Stars of Carrum, yeah. Look, he's. I don't know if he'll handle a wet, but he can stay, and he was good again on Friday night. Declaration of Heart was very good on Friday night too, running second, because he's the one in that group that didn't have the experience over a bit of ground, so he'll improve a bit as well. But Derby's shaping well for the, I think, for the Victorians, really.
Declaration of Heart's a shorter price in the Derby than Stars of Carrum. Declaration of Heart's an $8 chance, Stars of Carrum at $11, but Global Exchange, Dino, he's clear favourite in the Derby here at the moment.
It's incredible the transformation he made from the spring. He was just a nice horse without being anything extravagant when he came into the yard. Now he's just this really big, powerful, like strong horse. So it's amazing that they identified him early, that he was a good talent, gave him a bit of racing, put him out, didn't bother about the end of the spring, but it's paying dividends at the moment. He's going the right way.
Hey Duff, is the Magic Millions winner the forgotten horse? Regards, Knocker Norris from Wagga.
Yeah, she could be. She could well be. Look, I'm just right up in the air. After having an opinion last week about this, I'm telling you, I've got a 12-horse shortlist now. Look, I'm not knocking her, and McAvoy sticks with her. I don't know whether he had other options or they just planted him on her back, but she'll improve from the other day. Whether she can improve enough to beat Tenley, her other stablemate, I don't know, but I'll just have to have another look at her wet form, if she's got any. So, no knock on anything from me at this stage in the slipper until I have a look at that final makeup of that field and barriers and closer to track conditions. But I was all about yes for me last week. I'm sort of getting a little bit nervous.
Yeah. Well, yes. Just having a quick look at the form, mate. It has won on a soft five. I think that was down in Melbourne.
Yeah, that's.
And I think Class just would have carried it through on that particular day. Dino, do you have a memory of that?
It was a summer track too, TK.
It wasn't bad. What I'm saying is they just sort of, that's no confirmation that, he'd get through the ground.
No, he's going to be off the pace and
out the back.
Probably off midfield depending on the draw. He could be a little bit closer if he draws okay, but it's that crucial stage when they go onto the course proper, how they travel to the 400 and on wet ground. I mean, if he can stay on the bit for as long as he can, he'll be strong. So, but it's that if they lose their rhythm from the 800, the 400. You look at those wet track golden slippers and you just see horses lose it from that point, and that's where it changes.
Hi, TK. I missed who was riding Yes, Yes, Yes before. Could you tell me that? Thank you, Rob.
Shin.
Yep, Blake Shin. Blake Shin has that ride. Let's get back to the open line. Hi, Bruce.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Let's speak to Dino, please.
Yes.
Dino, what do you think of the ride on Jumbo in the second race?
He should have won, and he should have stayed in. John Allen just made a blue. I mean, he couldn't. The race didn't actually shape up probably how he would have thought. I think he would have thought Zoo Manor on his inside might have nearly led, and he might have been off the rail outside it. And when it took a sit, he got pushed down to the rail, and he was third behind Outrageous. When he was in there, I think he just should have stayed in there because they were always going to kick those two. They had pretty easy leads, and he might have ducked through and won late. But when he pulled out, he got over-exaggerated, lost all the momentum. Horse should have won, simple as that. He's a very smart horse. But
he seemed to reef it back.
He did. He went back and out.
He had no choice in the end.
Well, once he was so far in there, he just should have tried to hope
but
that
then,
the sea's
parted. But then, if he sits there and does nothing, right, and that gap doesn't come, he climbs over the back of him and finishes exactly
runs
where
third.
He finished.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, he made a move, and one stride later, the seas parted. So that's you see the head on. But it was always going to happen because Outrageous had an easy lead. At some stage, Grain Dunn was going to have to go for him and kick, and the second horse didn't have quite the acceleration. If he stays in there, look, I mean, it's a split-second decision, and it didn't work. I think... he was that far up inside there that he was committed to probably staying in there, but we'll never know.
Right.
Yeah. Also, Munza, I got a bonus bet on that, so it was a blessing, so I had the winner on the bonus bet.
Oh, well done.
Beautiful.
Well done. Hope you turned it into something after that again.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks very much.
Good on you, mate. Well done, Bruce. Yeah, look, if you took the $1.95 or whatever it was, Jumbo Ozaki, wasn't he a good player out of Japan?
Off the big high tees.
Yeah, he had... He used to wet the driver before he hit the ball. I don't think that was so legal. But apart from that, he was a crowd pleaser. He came down here a few years.
Yeah. Oh, I
that
saw him at the Masters
the
a few times.
Yeah, when he hit the ball and the sparks come off the ball.
He used to come out of the shoes.
Yeah.
Big jumbo.
Yeah, he'd give it away.
I tell you what, punters came out of their shoes when got beaten race two. This comes in. People are warming to this. Time to Rain, the forgotten horse, wet form, done exactly what she will rain to do and lose its lead-up race and get forgotten about. Gary knows how to train a slipper winner. Cheers, James. Yeah, James, well, you can't argue with that.
No, to be fair, She Will Rain, that was that day you had to be on the outside fence and she just didn't quite get there and ran still. Well, this one's got to make up a bit more ground, but I just think he was in the wrong spot the other day.
Let's get back to the open line. We've got Scott on the line, on line two. We'll jump down to him and say good morning to Scott. Hi, Scott.
Hey, boys. I just wanted to congratulate Ron Quinton.
Good on him.
Job. He's just all over the Coolamore.
Yeah, as a rider, as a trainer.
But I've also got a question for Dean.
Yes.
Amperidi, do you reckon she'd make a Stradbroke horse? I don't reckon she gets... Past 14.
Well, she could be. Yeah, she could. She could be that for sure. It'd be interesting to see which path they take. I think she gets a mile okay in her right grade. That was pretty severe test on Saturday. But in her own age or something, she'd be okay. But yeah, she could be a Stradbroke horse for sure.
Righto, too easy.
Good on you, Scott. Yeah, well done to Ronnie Quinton. Terrific to see Dixie Blossoms. He's a great trainer of fillies and mares. And if you quiz Ronnie about it, why are you such a great trainer of fillies and mares? He goes, well, no one gives me any bloody boys, right? So he said, that isn't it funny that perception you get of things?
Well, that race is amazing, though, isn't it, Duff? That Ronnie's won it six times, and the Lee family, they won it five, and Chris had second and third on Saturday.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, that Max won it five times. It was a great race for him, and Chris is desperate to win it, and he's been so close so many times as well, Chris. And
Every year they're in the finish.
Yeah. And you'd win a few bets on that too, Glenn, that Chris had never trained a Newmarket winner in Newcastle until Princess Posh won it, what was that, last week or 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, well, a couple of Fridays ago, and he comes out with second and third on Saturday. And, Ronnie, four times as a trainer, twice as a jockey.
Yes.
And, And Alan Osberg, who actually owns Dixie Blossom, I think Ronnie wanted to retire earlier, and Alan said, no, 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 we'll be right. We'll go for a Group 1. We'll go for a Group 1, and he was proven correct on Saturday.
Absolutely. Does Bivouac get a run? Wet Tracker, Biz?
No, it'll be first emergency, I think.
First emergency at this stage. There you go. Let's get to the open line.
Gabby will be the last horse in the slipper field.
Hi, Kurt.
G'day, Terry. How are you?
Well, thank you, mate.
Muns, Dino, Ronnie, how are you, boys?
Hello, Kurt.
That's the way. Boys, can I just say, what a week of racing worldwide. Mate, I hook up Foxtel because I had it when it first came out, but I got rid of it because I hardly watch TV ever. But every year, I hook it up for the Cheltenham Festival.
How good was Cheltenham?
For Aintree and Royal Ascot. And if anyone watched Cheltenham this week, oh, my gosh.
LTR, Kurt?
What a Dino, mate. And did, just out of curiosity, Deep, did you see Wicklow run second place
the old-timer?
Wicklow Brave?
Oh, my... Mate, I tell you, over there, Dean, I don't need to tell you how to suck eggs. Over there, as you know, boys, jump racing, it is totally different to, you know, flat race. I think they actually despise flat racing fans, but... My gosh, Dino, what a carnival, mate.
Yeah, it was amazing to watch. But, LTR, Tiger Roll winning the cross-country was the highlight for me. And
same here, Dino.
His favourite for the National. Yeah.
Do you think he'll go on again this year?
Well, his favourite for the National, and he won it last year. So, it was magnificent viewing and great to see like the whole coverage through Thoroughbred Central. It was fantastic.
Absolutely, Dean. Mate, can I just ask, boys, I just want to keep an international flavour.
Yeah.
I just want to give a few tips out for Super Saturday coming up at Maydan.
Okay, hold on. Super Saturday at Maydan. Yep.
Yep. No, Jibbo Cup night, TK.
Yep.
Yeah, well, Huey Bowman will be there. He won't be in Sydney.
Absolutely. He'll be up. He'll be on Brave Smash, I think, against Blues Point Vidora and Illustrious Lad down the Alquad.
Yeah, Anthony Darmanin riding at Illustrious Lad.
Yeah, I think he's got Charlie's got a mortgage on that race though with Blues Point.
You love him, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, I love him, mate. Here's my tips, boys, for the weekend there.
Yep.
In this horse that you know I'm in love with, boys, Divine Image, Charlie's other horse. Mm-hmm. It won the other week after I tipped it in the Oaks there. It won again, and it's going to be racing in the UAA Derby. If it's not racing there, back it in the Kentucky Oaks. But I think it'll be there on Dubai night. Divine Image, Charlie Appleby's beautiful three-year-old. Now, Ispolini, I'm taking a gamble here over Cross Counter and Old Persian because he's the up-and-counter, another one of Charlie's, if anyone saw it last start. Ronnie, don't know if you've seen it.
Ispolina.
Is that the Shima Classic or the Gold Cup they're running in, Kurt?
That'll be the Maydan Gold Cup, Dino.
The 2 miles, yep.
Yep, but like I said, it's up against Cross Counter, and I heard he tried like a bomb the other day there. An Old Persian. I'm taking this one because he's an up and comer and he's kicking ass left, right, and centre.
Yep.
And the other one, this horse, I hope Charlie brings these horses down here after they race there, depending on how they pull up and that. But this horse, Dream Castle, this is my Dubai turf tip. It won the Jebel Hadda, the Group 1 over there at Maydan on Super Saturday night. The lead up to Dubai Cup night, 1800 metres. It won in fine fashion, to be precise, in consummate fashion. It dead set. It ran 1.3 lengths to Jungle Cat in last year's Alquaz Group 1, Group 2. And we know Jungle Cat, obviously, Frank, that form come out and won the crack Sir Rupert Clark stakes out here. And that form's held up with Lander Plenty winning the 2-8 Group 1 and...
Okay.
Dollar for dollar, also racing well after that. And Dream Castle beat a horse named Racing History 2 starts ago in a Group 3 by 1.5 lengths at Maydan. And this horse, on the same card as Super Saturday when Dream Castle won the other week, Dream Castle ran a top second. Sorry. Yeah, Dream Castle ran a top second to Old Persian. And that's one of Charlie Appleby's. And this Old Persian beat Cross Counter by one length last year at Maydan. And we know a Cross Counter come out here and done. So this horse, it'll be winning with a foot in the air. Dream Castle.
Dream Castle, that's in the Dubai Turf. Is Bellina in the Gold Cup, and also followed Divine Image over that Maidan night, which will be spectacular. Thank you, Kurt, for that. Let's get one more caller in, if we can. Hi, Macca.
Hey, you go. How's it going?
Yeah, good, Macca.
That's good. Hey, I just want to try and figure out, like with the Golden Slipper on this weekend, what about the Winx race? Who is any of the horses going to back up out of the All-Star Mile? And will anyone take her on the George Ryder? Or would Waller just like to fill the whole race again? Or where are we at with it?
I doubt whether those horses would back up from the All-Star Mile to take her on a wet track, because she's just so untouchable. The noms will be out in an hour, and I think we'll get more of a guide when we see the nominations.
Yeah, thanks very much for that, guys. Appreciate it.
But Chris will probably have about six.
Yeah, possibly, although the stayers can go different angles now, so who knows what's going to happen there. We'll get more of a guide.
Yeah. What time do they come out, Ronnie? 10 o'clock?
11 o'clock.
About 11 o'clock.
Nominations, yeah.
11 o'clock. Good on you, Macca. Nice to hear from you. Sorry I didn't get to so many text messages, but what's your horse to follow, Dino?
Horse called Harapore ran really well here on Saturday, TK, 1,400 metres. You might see him at the back end of the carnival up there, but he'll win a good staying race. He was pretty handy last time, and he's now with Chris Waller. I think he'll have a good preparation. Harapore
is one to follow for Dean Lester. And Dino will be listening right throughout the week, and your tips will let the field happen, will let the barrier draw happen and the track conditions happen, but we'll be listening on Friday and Saturday right throughout the week for your thoughts regarding the Golden Slipper. Ronnie, what have you got, a horse to follow?
Yeah, look, it's an obvious one. I don't know how good this horse could be. It could well be a Cups horse, Supernova.
Yeah,
he's a beauty.
Good win, wasn't it?
Very, very good. He's only, he's a lowly rated horse, but he's going ahead leaps and bounds. I think he could well be a spring Cups horse.
Yeah, Abdullah was super impressed. I mean, it was such a good win.
Oh, he's a good horse.
Yeah, very, very good win. Beating White Boots and Jack's Hill there, or Jake's Hill. Glenn, you got one for us?
Here, keep on his back, Jake's Hill. As all these horses are going to the major races, this is a horse that'll just win a benchmark race with its leg in the air.
Yeah.
Jake's Hill. Okay. Off the track the whole race on Saturday. Nothing really featured later in the day that was wide on the track. And if you're saying Supernova is going to be a Sydney Cup horse on going forward, he never finished more than two off the fence basically the whole race, whether this set four and five wide and wider the last half of the race, and he still only finished a couple of lengths behind him. Benchmark race, he's just an absolute knock taker.
Okay. Jake's Hill. Yeah, finished third in the last race, race nine there on Saturday. It's a huge week. Stay listening for the boys' thoughts all throughout the week on all the different platforms on Sky. Thanks, Ronnie.
See you, guys.
Will you be at track work tomorrow morning at Rosehill Gardens, Ronnie?
No, I'll be watching on Sky Thoroughbred.
Bite your tongue, TK.
Oh, okay.
That vision of Ronnie at the track on Sky, that was 1973, I think that was.
I thought it was a cute.
Track work at Randwick or Rosehill?
Rosehill tomorrow.
No,
the light rail. Ronnie's got terrible troubles with the light rail with access, haven't you, Ron?
Exactly.
I always thought that was a computer graphic, that track work thing.
An avatar.
What do they call it? Photoshop.
Yeah, exactly.
Dino, thanks, mate.
What is a GIF?
Yeah. Dean Lester, you'll hear Dean right throughout all the different Sky platforms right throughout the week, building up to what's going to be terrific with the five group ones. And Glenn, I'll see you. You will make the effort to get out there to Rosehill Gardens tomorrow morning.
Yeah, never miss a free breakfast, TK. Apart from that, we'll have a chat there on the stage to the members' brunch there tomorrow morning at Rosehill Gardens in the Grand Pavilion, which will be followed by the barrier draw for the Longines Golden Slipper at 11 o'clock.
We look forward to all that, Glenn. Thanks, mate.
Thanks, mate.
That's Punters Postmortem as we build up to what's going to be just a fantastic week of racing. And just in case you were wondering, that meeting at Gosford that got cancelled, the Provincial Championship qualifier has been moved to Newcastle on Thursday. So the Provincial Championship qualifier that was put down for Gosford has now been moved to Newcastle on Thursday. Thanks for listening. We've enjoyed your company. It's now 10:01. That means it's news and sporting headline time with Madison Clare.